Good morning. I appreciate Guy's songs this morning, leading us in our minds in that hope of heaven that we have. And I'm already emotional because, man, that is so powerful, and it fits so well with my thoughts this morning about being in Christ. And I am talking to each of us. This lesson is preached at me this morning. There are those of us in Christ, and we need to look at and examine ourselves and what we think being in Christ truly means. And then there are those here this morning who joined in those songs and who have an understanding of what those songs mean and what they imply and what the results of those songs is singing about. And yet you've not determined to be in Christ. I hope that each one of us this morning will think long and hard about the words that I have this morning that are coming from God's Word in regards to what it means to be in Christ and what we are doing as we call ourselves Christians, or as we think about putting on Christ through baptism. Before Christ, we were far off. We were a people who were without any hope. And I'm talking even before putting on Christ in baptism. But as a world, as a people, before Christ entered, we had no hope. We were far from God. Think about yourself right now and the person that you are, who you are today, and what you're doing in your life today. If you've put on the name of Christ, are you a new person? Are you a new creature? Are you acting like somebody different than you were before, who you were before, when you were far off? Christ changes us. We can't be the same person that we were before Christ. Our old self, we've crucified him. Romans 6, verse 5 says, "For if we have been united with him in death, like his, we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection, like his." We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We've changed. Being far from God, being far from him, we've changed ourselves because of him and what he does for us. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, says that very thing. Ephesians 4, verse 22. I'm scrolling too fast here, sorry. Ephesians 4, 22 says, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on a new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness." We are called to change. We are called to be transformed. Romans 12, 1. Romans 12, 1 says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, that is good and acceptable and perfect." Christ changes us. He transforms us into being something different. We have to put on a new self, and we have to renew who we are. Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And what we've done as putting on Christ, as being far away from Christ, we've changed ourselves, we've transformed ourselves, and we have renewed ourselves by putting on a new person, a new self. But as we said, before Christ, we were separated. We were separated from Him. We had no hope until Christ came into this world. As a people, we had no hope. And as individuals, if we are separated from Christ, we have no hope. Ephesians, the second chapter. We often want to look at verse 8 and only quote verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. This is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We have a blessing in God. We have a blessing in what He does and the grace that He's given us to be able to serve Him and for Him to be able to sustain us and give us that hope. But go on and read further into what the people were like and what the Gentiles were like. You and I being those Gentiles, being far removed from who God truly called. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promises, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul uses strong words here to describe who the Gentiles were, who you and I were before we put on Christ. And for those of you here who haven't put on Christ, who you are separated. You're apart. You're by yourself, Paul says. Most of us don't like to be separated. There are times that we want to have private thoughts and private conversations. But as a people, we like to be together. Children especially. My children want to be with us. If we're at a park, even in their independence, and we saw that this weekend, even in their independence, they're still looking back and we're still looking to them. We don't want to be separated. But the Gentiles here were separated. They were apart. This wasn't just a physical separation, a separation by their birthright or a separation by an uncircumcision. But this was truly about a spiritual separation, that they were without Christ. They were without hope in God and what He could do. Paul tells us of what the punishment of being separated from God is in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. We're told there, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. We will suffer hell. And that will be the consequence if we're separated from God. If we don't have God and that hope of what He allows us to have and to be a part of. Paul continues to tell them that they were alienated. This alienation is, we think about it as something with hostility. This is not just being separate, but this is being separate and not being a part of or wanted to be a part of. They were outside of who they should be. The promise has always been to the Jew first. That's who Paul preached to. That's who Jesus preached to. The Jew first. But all of that led to us being a part of it. It was to the Jew first, but then it was also to us. Jesus Christ came. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, Abraham was given a promise that all of the nations would be blessed through him. And because of that, at this time, Paul is able to say that the promise is for or that they were alienated at this time, and that the promise wasn't intended for them at that time. But going forward through the Messiah, they would not have to be alienated. And finally, Paul calls them strangers. He says, a stranger is somebody who is foreign, somebody who we don't know. As we send students abroad, that's one of the big things that we talk to them about is how to not look like a stranger as you're abroad, because you're a prime target. Gary's mentioned that in others who have traveled abroad. Looking like a stranger in a foreign land can get you in a lot of trouble. If you call yourself in Christ, you look like a stranger at this time. You look like a foreigner to Christ. And if you're not in Christ, then you are a stranger to Him. Acts 13 talks about being this. Acts 13 and verse 46. The Gentiles, knowing that they were strangers, knowing that they were far off, knowing that they were separated, hear that they no longer have to worry about that. That this gospel is for them. And listen to what they do. Listen to their excitement. And Paul and Barnabas, verse 46 of chapter 13, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, to the Jews. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. Because they no longer were strangers, because they were no longer alienated or separated, they were rejoicing in the Lord. They were excited to be a part of Christ, to be in Christ. They wanted to share that with so many others. Those who are separated from Christ, those who are not in Christ, we're told there in Ephesians 2, continuing at the end of verse 12, having no hope and without God in this world. If you are without Christ, you have no hope. You are without God. Can you imagine a life where there is no hope beyond what we see today? Think of the pain, the suffering that you endure, and think about having that for eternity. Without Christ, you're separated, you're alienated, you're a stranger. If we had no hope beyond anything that we currently have in this life, if there was nothing else, what a sad state we would be in. And we would tend to serve ourselves. We would be people who only looked after Austin and what benefited Austin and his family. We would be people that would make laws and establish laws and precepts that would benefit Austin and his family. They wouldn't benefit anybody else. And I think it's a scary world that we're in, because we look around and we see laws and people who are without God, who are making decisions to serve in that way, who serve themselves only. The lifestyles that we see, the actions that we hear, those people that we encounter at times. But it's up to us to look at them and to understand that they're strangers, they're alienated, they are without Christ at this time, they're separated from Him, and we need to show them that perspective. We need to show them that what life looks like in Christ. We have such hope in this passage here in Ephesians. As we continue to read, down in verse 13, we see that there is good news. That because these Gentiles were far off, they were without Christ. But yet, now in Christ, verse 13, now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. That alienation, that hostility of being separate from God, being alienated, estranged from him, has been broken down because of Christ Jesus, because of his blood and what he's done for us. We have such a great hope. Those who have no hope, those who are here this morning who say, I just don't have any hope. I don't understand what I'm doing. I don't know what to do. You can now have hope. You can have hope because of Christ and what Christ has done for you, what he has done for me. Those who are without God this morning, you can be with God. You can have God because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. We are no longer outside. We are a part of God, and we can be a part of God as we put on Christ. That's the only way. The only way to be in Christ is to put on Christ. Jesus is who brought both the Jews and the Gentiles together. That promise made back in Genesis, the 12th chapter, to Abraham, Genesis 12:3, that all of the nations would be blessed through Jesus, that has been fulfilled. Galatians 3, and verse 16. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring." It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." This is what I mean, the law which came 430 years afterward. I wanted to stop at the end of 16, I will. Christ is who has brought about that promise. We understand that. But just understanding that and thinking that doesn't mean you're in Christ. The Gentiles had actions that needed to be taken, and they had to understand more of what that meant to be in Christ. In Christ we've changed from who we were. The Gentiles could no longer go on being who they were and doing the things that they did, acting the way that they acted, worshiping the idols that they worshiped, serving themselves, and creating their own laws. They had to do what Christ wanted. They had to believe in Christ. And they would no longer be separated, but they would be a new person in Christ. So, how is that? How are we made new in Christ? What brings that about? Is it some physical thing that takes place? I say no, it's definitely a spiritual transition. If we have sin in our life, most certainly that sin needs to be removed from our lives, and that would be a physical change. To remove that sin out of your life, no longer do that, move forward and serve Christ without that. But we have a spirit in us because we have Christ. We're given a spirit. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If in fact the spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." We've been changed physically by removing our sins, yes, but the real change is that spiritual transformation, that we have been given a spirit. And just as Christ was raised from the dead when he was crucified on the cross, as he nailed that old self, or as we nail our old selves through baptism, we can be raised to Christ with a newness. We must have a complete change in our mind and in our thoughts. We should no longer be concerned with just our physical well-being and the things of this world, but we need to have a spiritual focus. We need to think about things spiritually. Nothing in this world can save us except Christ alone. Christ is the only thing that can bring about redemption. We must store up treasures in heaven. That's where our treasures should lie. We can do that in many, many ways, but an immediate thing, we can serve others. We can show others how they're strangers, how they're separated, and how they're alienated from this world, or from God, and how they can be pulled out of this world. I am so often concerned with my physical well-being. I am concerned with the physical things of this life and taking care of those. Matthew 6:25 says that we need to seek the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. We need to put off our physical desires. We need to put off our physical wants, our emotional, what people might think about us, what our peers might say. And we need to focus on spiritual things. We need to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of those blessings will be added to us. And they may not be the physical blessings that we were seeking after, but we will be blessed. We will be added to heaven, and we will not be separated or alienated or apart from God. Of course, these aren't easy changes. We do live in a very physical world. We live in a time that is filled with material things. We live in a time where we can have just about anything we want in a moment's notice. Even in Franklin and Bargersville, Amazon delivers next day. And you think about that, the physical desires that we want, that I can be at a store with my children and they'll look at me and they'll say, well, we can just order it if it's not here. I need to be careful at where my family is headed. I need to be careful that we don't think about physical things that come from a phone or a device, but that God supplies those blessings to us, that we serve God and God takes care of us and he gives us those things that we need. But it's not easy. And this Holy Spirit that God has, or that Jesus has given us, that he promised us, it helps us through those times. It helps us when we feel weak. It helps us when we don't have the right words to say, when we don't know what to do, when we're being berated by our peers or our coworkers. The Holy Spirit is there for us. You think about the apostles and their attitude. Even as Christ ascended into heaven in Acts, the first chapter, the apostles were still so physically focused on what the kingdom meant. If they can still be physically focused at this time after all that they've seen, it is hard for us. It will be hard for us. Here Acts 1 verse 6 says, so when they had come together, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They want a physical kingdom. They want Rome gone. And Jesus never intended for that. But they were thinking physical. And it wasn't until the day of Pentecost, when they were filled with that Holy Spirit, that they realized what it was all about. They realized the spiritual nature of what God really wanted and what the kingdom really meant. John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. That same Spirit that guided the apostles guides us today, and we are blessed to have that from Christ. We can understand that we have what we need in the Scriptures today. We don't need to look outside of God's Word to no longer be separate from Christ. And even though it is hard, even though it may be for some of you the hardest thing you ever do in your life, it may alienate you from others. It may cause you to separate from others. It is the right thing to do, because you do not want to be separate from Christ. You do not want to be separated from God. Again, to those of us who have called on the name of Christ, who have washed our sins away in that watery baptism, are you in Christ? As we think about what it means to truly be in Christ and serving Him, we have to put the past behind us. We have to separate ourselves from our past lives. Those who would put on Christ today, you will have to separate yourself from your sins. Those can be reminders to us. Oftentimes, I think we think that we have to just completely eliminate the sin from our minds and never think about it again. That's impossible. They are reminders to us of who we once were and that we no longer are that person. The Israelites set up many memorials throughout their history as reminders of what God had done for them. Remind yourself of who you once were, but know that you now are in Christ today, or that you could be in Christ today. Strive to reach the goal of heaven that we sang about this morning. Philippians 3, verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. If we're focused on the physical, I don't know if we count all things rubbish. If we're not focused on what Christ wants and being in Christ, then we need to examine ourselves. I need to examine myself and think, how can I better be a servant of God? How can I better serve Him and His people? Continue in Philippians, the third chapter there, down in verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is one of the biggest blessings that we have here on this earth, is one another. The fact that we can rally together knowing that we're seeking God, that we want to reach that goal of heaven together. If you are already a Christian here this morning, know that you've called yourself a new person. When you rose from that watery grave, you have put on a new person. Are you acting like that new person? Am I acting like that new person? Terry talks about the mirror often. If you look at that new person, it shouldn't look like the old one. It shouldn't look like what it was before. But we should look like Christ. And if you aren't a Christian today, if you have not yet called on Christ, I ask why. If you understand that you are separated, that you are alienated, and that you are a stranger. Why do you wait? Come now as we stand and sing.